Boy, I hope you all take a songbook and sing. I hate to say this, but you know, I think you had more people in the choir this morning than we got here tonight. So that means everybody's got to sing just a little bit harder tonight. I'm a little louder. I'm looking around and I'm not going to get in trouble with my wife and say we've got more women than we do men, so we ought to be all right. Well, I'm glad the left side over here, the right side over here is coming in to join us. Number 318. On the second, 'twas at the old time altar where God came in my heart and now.
Underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as
if you can say that tonight, praise God, my sins are gone simply because of him. Brother Josh, lead us in opening prayer, please. Turning your handbooks to number 120 as you're being seated. Number 120, Victory in Jesus. Tomorrow, going on up to Pensacola for Extreme Camp. Let's pray that this camp might be some decisions made that will change lives in these kids. I don't know about you, but I can remember going to camp as a kid. But they don't call themselves kids. I can go to camp when I was a young person, okay? Put it back that way. And decisions I made changed my life. And I pray that might be the truth with them this week. Don't forget, next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Father's Day. There are going to be donuts and coffee before the Sunday school hour over in our fellowship hall. Everybody's invited to come a little early and have donuts and coffee. For some of you, we'll have donut holes. Those are sweet nothings. Those of you like Scott and I who are diabetic, we'll have to eat the donut hole, Scott. But don't forget, let's do that next Sunday morning. I'm looking and I don't see anything more on the announcements. One thing I do, I really enjoy, Miss Kim, I like your little, when you pull your brain back from tomorrow and your heart back from yesterday, you'll find joy in today. That's really true. That's good. Do we have any additions that we need to put on a prayer list tonight, or updates that we need? I just want to know how long it's going to take for everybody to show us. Walker family and the death of their teenage daughter? Okay. We're going to stand and sing number 205, Wonderful Words of Life. We'll have our ushers come forward on the last verse for our evening offering. Brother Jim. Brother Jim Bedell is going to speak to us what God's given him for us tonight.
When Pastor was praying this morning, he asked God to bless the speaker, Brother Pope. And perhaps you thought that might have been our speaker tonight, but no, you've got me. That was the speaker at camp. And so do be praying for Brother Pope as he addresses the camp there at Pensacola, that God will use him in a wonderful way. Turn this evening in your Bibles to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Appreciate Brother Price leading the singing tonight. You know, song leaders all have different styles, and Brother Price has shared one particular style of directing that he has observed, and the song leader, instead of keeping time with his hands, giving a downbeat normally as a song leader would, he would just lead the singing by making a circle by the side of his head. And I was waiting for Brother Price to try that particular pattern, but he has decided not to do so. But I thought that was interesting, and I appreciate Brother Price stepping in tonight. If you found your place in 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that would be all of our desire tonight, that we would not be barren or unfruitful in our service to the Lord. My earliest career was as a farmer. I grew up in a farming family on my mother's side, and I thought the farming lifestyle was just a wonderful lifestyle. It is a wonderful way to live and a terrible way to make a living. So was my experience in farming. But whatever you're growing, it takes some input. Right now, the only thing I'm growing is a lawn. But that lawn takes fertilizer and fungicide and water when it's not raining and insecticide. It takes a lot of input to have a growing lawn, and to be a growing Christian takes a lot of input as well. There was a lady who had a beautiful yard one time, and a gentleman was walking through her yard and admiring all the beautiful plants, and just she had made a garden out of her lawn, trellises and fountains and whatnot. And the gentleman said to her, "Why, you must have a green thumb," indicating that all this probably just came real easy. But of course her response was, "No, that I have a dirty thumb and callous knees," that any kind of growth takes work, not only in gardens and farming, but also in our Christian life. We're not talking about growing to salvation. Salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But once we have that relationship with God, then we need to grow. And we're going to look tonight at some things that we need to add in order to grow, to be pleasing to our Lord. The first one we find here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says, add to your faith virtue. virtue is moral excellence. After having received Christ as our Savior, our lives should show purity. A few verses we'll look at tonight. First of all, in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we need to add virtue to our lives. In that passage it talks about jesting, and I know that we enjoy a good joke, and sometimes we jest with one another. I was concerned about that, and I had to look it up. What does that mean when it talks about jesting? And jesting is making fun of the sacred. And so when we jest amongst ourselves, that is not what it's talking about here in Scripture. In Scripture, jesting would be making fun of the sacred, and certainly that would be something we would not want to do. But we add to our faith virtue, moral excellence. If we want our lives to be productive to Him, we have to keep ourselves pure. Showing virtue, that moral excellence, brings glory to God. It involves several things. First of all, what we do. To be virtuous, to be morally pure, we have to do certain things, and we have certain things we should not do. In that passage we just read, it talked about things that were wrong for a Christian, and those things should be excluded from our lives. So not only what we do is involved in moral purity, but also what we think. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Here we read, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So moral excellence involves what we do, what we think, and also it involves what we expose ourselves to. I mentioned farming, and I was a farm manager for several farms. The first farm I managed out of college belonged to the fellow who started Winn-Dixie Stores, J.E. Davis. And he was there in Jacksonville, and one time I had to have my driver's license renewed. And by the way, it was a pig farm. And there's something very unique about a pig farm, and that is the odor associated with it. Once you're there, you get used to it, and so you don't really mind it. I was managing a farm up in Pennsylvania one time, and the UPS driver came in, and she said, "Oh, I don't see how you could stand working in this place. It stinks." Well, you know, you get used to it. Well, that's what I'm talking about here as far as what you expose yourself to. Quite often you get used to it, but it's not something that you would want in your life. But getting back to my story in Jacksonville, so I took my lunch hour off and went to the driver's license bureau to have my license renewed. I didn't have time to change clothes, and so I was standing in line in the driver's license bureau, And people started looking around. And they started picking up their feet. And looking at the bottoms of their feet. And I'm thinking, well, this is really strange. What's the problem with these people? And then the people who ran the driver's license office opened the doors and propped the doors open. It's because I felt like saying, it's me. It's me. Just renew my license and I'll be gone. You know, kind of like Jonah, throw me overboard and it'll bring an end to the problem. But the problem was me and what I had exposed myself to, and I had gotten used to it, but not so much for the people around me, and they identified a problem in me. So moral purity involves what we do, what we think, and what we expose ourselves to, because it becomes a part of us. If we continually expose ourselves to the filth, the evil, the temptation, the immorality of the world, it will eventually rub off on us. So we add to our faith virtue. Another thing here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6, it says knowledge. Add to virtue knowledge. Knowledge means insight and understanding. Knowledge comes from study. And we need to study God's word. The story is told of a little boy who was being promoted from the preschool to the junior department, and he said to his mother, he said, I don't know why my teacher wasn't promoted too. She knows almost as much as I do, but we need to study. We never know enough. God's word is full of truth, and we need to study God's word and apply it to our lives, and so we need to add to our virtue knowledge, and that comes through study. Another thing we need to add to our lives, in verse 6 it says, and to knowledge temperance. Temperance. Temperance is self-control or discipline. In Mark chapter 8 and verse number 34, Mark 8, 34, here we read, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever shall come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Sometimes we have to deny ourselves. That's part of this temperance, part of self-control, is denying ourselves. Sometimes the people that we're associated with might want to do something, but as a Christian, we should deny ourselves and not be involved. It demands forfeiting some temporary pleasure. We can't always do what we want to do when we want to do it and continue to grow as a Christian. We must do what God wants us to do. So we have seen virtue, knowledge, temperance. The fourth thing here is patience. Patience. Patience means perseverance. It talks about running with patience, a race. That perseverance, hanging in there. I guess a negative illustration of perseverance we find in the life of Demas. Demas was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul, and Demas started well. In Philemon chapter 24, we find Demas listed as one of the fellow laborers with the Apostle Paul. That is Philemon. Here we go. In Philemon, and verse number 24, says, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So Demas was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. And then in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, we find Demas listed again as a fellow laborer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 14. Here we find Demas. Colossians 4:14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So Demas started well, but he didn't have the patience. He didn't have the perseverance, because we find in 2 Timothy 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10, we find a change in the relationship with Demas. Something went wrong. Something came into his life that caused him not to have perseverance. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." So something came into the life of Demas that caused him not to have patience, not to have perseverance, not to stick with the Apostle Paul and continue to labor with him. So we need to have patience as well. We sometimes sing that song as an invitation song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And it says, "No turning back, no turning back." I trust that is your prayer tonight. Attitude to patience, godliness, spending time with God, oneness with God. And this comes through prayer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning of verse number 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And another passage as far as spending time with God in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Matthew 5:16. Godliness, oneness with God, comes with spending time in prayer. Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." If our lives are exhibiting godliness, others will see it and glorify God because of it. And finally tonight, the things we are to add to our faith is love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, many have deemed this as the love chapter, but we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." Now, quite often you've read that passage, I'm sure yourself, and substituted the word love for the word charity. And that is truly something that would be appropriate. But I was thinking, what does this word charity mean? And why is it used here instead of love? When you love someone, you kind of expect something in return. You want to be loved back. But charity, when you give to charity, you're not expecting anything back. It's kind of a one-way love. And so here, that is pure love, not expecting anything back in return. So charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So here we have things to add to our faith. My prayer is that each and every one of us has that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are confident in our eternal destiny as being with the Lord in heaven. If that is not the case with you tonight, I ask that you see one of us after the service concludes, and we'll be happy to show you from the Bible how you can become a child of God yourself. But once you have that faith, we should add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and love. And adding these things, we won't be that barren or unfruitful Christian that I think none of us wants to be. Let's close tonight with prayer. Father, we thank you for this time we've had to look into your word. I pray that it's been instructive to all of us. Father, I pray for the pastor and those who are traveling with him. You would give them a good service tonight in Tallahassee. You'd give them a good night's sleep. Give them safety as they conclude their trip to Pensacola. Father, may this be an important time in their lives, Lord, as decisions are made and they draw closer to you. Be with the speaker there, Brother Pope, that you would bless him and give him the words to say, Lord, that our young people need to hear. And again, that you would bring them back home safely. Father, be with us this week. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.